This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
We've decided today, 7:35.
One Buster only, maybe?
Buster only.
Hey, Buster, how you doing? It's Rick DPHRO calling.
Did you book this? Did you make the call and get him on the line?
So you get a free moment, give me a call back. Look forward to hearing from you. Bye.
I'm gun-shy now.
If I make a phone call and I hear the voicemail, I immediately have to hang it up.
I can't see, trust like, my second voicemail picks up, you just throwing the phone. Almost like a grenade has been tossed to you.
I got voicemail PTSD is what I have.
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
I don't know if it's something I did or if it's something Dave did, but we love you.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, it's so good. And I hope it never goes away. DPHRO Rothenberg presented, as always, by Progressive Insurance and all guests like Buster only at 7:35 this morning. Appear via the Goodyear hotline. I don't know what's better. I don't know if it's something I did or something Dave did, but we love you. Or, okay, Buster, bye.
No, I think I don't know if it's something that I did or Dave did. That's the best part. I don't know if it's something I did or if it's something Dave did, but we love you.
The best part of that to me is, but we love you. if there was someone who had a real problem, like a real issue, and there was an intervention, and you sat down and you said, here's the thing, Buster, and you played that clip, it would make sense. Do me a favor. Think about this now. You stand up. There's a circle of, I don't know, 8 or 10 people. Obviously, Buster has gone to a dark place, and you say this.
No, but see, I wouldn't say it. See, that's the thing, though. I don't know if it's something I did or if it's something Dave did, but we love you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, that would, I think that phone call would be made to get you to the actual intervention.
I'm not going anywhere if you use like, that let's kind
use,
of voicemail.
Let's use a guy by the name of Dave, maybe, for example. It would be like, I get the phone call from Sherry. Sherry's like, Dave's disappeared. We don't know where he is. Giants just lost. Yeah, it's week 3. Giants just lost a heartbreaker, and he's gone. And that's when I would pick up the phone. And I don't know if it's something that I did.
I don't know if
it's something I did or if it's something Dave did, but we love you. We love you. Please come home. Please.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And then you'd come home, and then that's when we would... That's when we would ambush you with that.
And there'd be a circle of people, and you'd kind of lock me in the room and say, all right, here's the thing. You have a real problem.
And here's the list of things that lead us to believe.
By the way, you know, and I understand it's not the norm to leave home for 2 days and stay at a hotel when something bad happens with the team. But that was a very long time ago at this point. That's over a decade ago.
But it happened.
It did happen.
Yeah, it happened.
But you don't have things in your past that you look at and you're like, that wasn't my finest moment.
A lot. Okay. Yeah, a lot of different things, yeah.
So the only difference is I bring it all on air.
I bring all my stuff up on air, too.
Well, but I'm saying, I bet you everybody listening has things that they wish that they could go back in time and say, I wish I didn't do that. I wish I was a better person than that. We all do. The only difference is mine and yours are on air. Not everybody lives their life on air like we do.
Well, isn't that part of the reason why, I mean, that cliche exists, like youth is wasted on the young? Like, I mean, I think back all the stupid, like, I'm like, why would you make that decision? You're an idiot. Why would you do that? That was stupid. I could spend a whole week of shows going over all the stupid things I did as a kid. Or as a 20-year-old. Or as a 30-year-old.
Yep.
I decided at one point it was a good idea to pull my motorcycle up into the bowels of the Coliseum, like right outside the locker room.
It's like you want people to look at you and shake their head.
It was amazing. I didn't know where to leave it.
See, I think you want people to look at you and shake their head. I just don't care what they think.
And yet we both get the same reaction.
Same exact reaction.
Did you get on the hog?
Oh, I got on the hog. I got in big trouble for that, too. Speaking of reaction, RJ brought this up briefly in CMT, but the Knicks against the Nets tonight, 7 o'clock right here on 98.7 ESPN. This was the only move they could make, right? Alec Burks into the starting lineup, Kemba Walker not even to the bench, it sounds like. It sounds like he's completely out of the rotation at the moment. It had to be done. What I like about this is clearly we know who's in charge. This is not Leon Rose saying, yeah, but we spent big money and we expect him to play and we looked at him as a piece of the future. Tom Thibodeau thinks we're not going to play him. It's not worth it at the moment, and he's not going to play.
Well, it wasn't huge money. I mean, it was a 2-year deal. So it's not,
but,
I mean, it's,
but it's still, I mean, you brought him in as one of the faces of the franchise. Like, he was going to be a big piece.
Yeah, it was a great story. I mean, it's the Jets trying to find a quarterback, right? It's the Knicks trying to find their point guard. And this was supposed to be, the short-term answer to that problem. And it hasn't worked out. I mean, the identity of a Tom Thibodeau team is, and this team is, its defense. And unfortunately, with Kemba Walker on the floor, statistically, with him on the floor, they're the worst defensive team in basketball.
It's awful.
And the only way you could live with that is if, because he was on the floor, you all of a sudden now turned into a much better team offensively, which hasn't been the case. I mean, when you look at the numbers, they don't lie.
It would have to be dramatic. Like, the way he plays defense or lack thereof, it would have to be dramatic how good you were offensively.
All right, so here's the numbers. So on the bench, on the floor, they have the worst defensive rating in the league, okay? Off the floor, they have the best defensive rating in the league. Offensively, with him on the floor, they're 27th. With him off the floor, they're 9th. Those are backwards.
Right. But
those
but
are backwards.
This is not something even debatable, right?
No.
I mean, the numbers are so glaring that you really only have one decision to make. Let's hear from the Knicks head coach, Tom Thibodeau, on deciding to put Alec Burks into the starting lineup.
Change. Alec's going to be the starter. I like the way that we played like that. Don't like the way we've been trending, the inconsistency of our team. Try to make a change. I want to get bigger. I want our defense to be more intact. Basically, that was it. We got to do something different.
Well, I like this. And you know what I like about this as well? Is that a lot of teams would wait until after a bad loss. You know, like you lose, say, tonight by 30 to Brooklyn. You say, all right, we're going to make this move. The Knicks had, I mean, arguably their best win of the season, but he recognizes what's happening, and he says, this has to be done. It has to be done now.
Well, I mean, that's the job of the coach, is to put, I mean, you're not just responsible for one guy and his feelings. You're responsible for the team and putting the team in the best position to win basketball games. And right now, having him on the floor does not give you the best opportunity to win basketball games. All right, here we go. Give me the music, RJ. Give me some Price is Right.
Oh, we're playing?
Price is Right. Yeah, I got a good one.
Okay.
All right, so here we go. A prize pack that includes, no. The Knicks have been outscored by how many points with Kemba Walker on the floor this season? The Knicks have been outscored by how many points with Kemba Walker on the floor this season?
How many games have they played? Like 20?
He's played 18 games, yeah.
He's played 18 games. Okay. Say the Knicks have been outscored by 216 points.
216
216.
Yep. RJ Santillo?
I think we just did the same thing. Did you take 18 games and multiply times 12 points? We just did the same exact thing.
Well, I went first.
That's strong for you. All righty. How about... I haven't done this yet. How about...
How can we put Raymond into a pickle? Is what
pickle
your thought
Raymond.
Process should be.
It's pickle Raymond.
Nice round number. I'm going to say... We're going to say 200 points.
200 points. 200 points.
And the star Raymond. Of the show, our favorite, Raymondo, what do you have?
I don't appreciate being the monkey here. That's all I'm just saying.
All right, where are you going to go?
I'll go 201.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Ray.
Like I said, I don't appreciate being your monkey.
Oh, Ray. Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness. Unfortunately, you guys are all wrong. Way too high. I appreciate you think Kemba is that bad defensively. They've been outscored by 122 points.
122. So if my calculations and understanding of the game are correct, nobody wins the showcase, yes?
And nobody wins the showcase.
Oh.
All over.
So the beautiful washer-dryer.
Gone.
The trip to Tahiti.
It. Yep.
Diane
it.
Parkinson, all of it. Nobody gets any of that stuff.
Computer you threw on the floor, keeping it.
Ugh.
Speaking of washer-dryer, Dryer kicked the bucket yesterday. Done.
Oh, no.
No, doesn't even nothing. Gone. Dead.
Didn't even work at all?
No. Nothing.
Telltale little boop there tells you that that was on his end.
So what does that mean now?
That means I have to go get a new dryer.
Now, where are you in that process?
Apparently, I'm going this afternoon.
So this is you take care of it, or this is a family issue?
No, this is a family. This is a family. No, this is me going and having, okay, yep, and then buying it.
So Cassie will do nothing. You will go. You will arrange. You will purchase. You will be there for the installation, and Cassie has her hands clean on this.
No, Cassie will pick it out, and then I'll be responsible for, I'll be the one that buys it and then the one that watches it. I can't install it.
Well, obviously.
No, I mean, it's a gas dryer. I can't install it. I mean, the house will blow up.
Wainscoting, of course.
I can't wainscot.
No, of course. And why would you be able to? Now, 5G is here, but the big carriers want you to sign those pricey long-term contracts to get in on the action. Not anymore, because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide with plans starting at just $35 a month with no contract. Get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299. All on America's best networks, 5G coverage, 5G phones, less money. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. We'll get back into the baseball. We'll get to your calls on the Knicks at 1-800-919-3776. And you doing the Price is Right put me in a position where...
I still can't believe he went 201.
Nothing surprises you now with him, though, in this game. It terrifies me that if you ever go on vacation in California, Ray, and like your future wife says, let's go watch a taping of The Price is Right. And you get called up. They're like, Raymond, come on down. Don't go.
Do not go.
No, you just think in that moment, think, what would Rick do if he's leaving a voicemail? And then we just flee. Run away.
Just run away.
Run
they
away.
Call you.
Hey, Buster,
you
how you doing?
Out.
It's Ricky Pietro calling.
Hey, Buster,
how you
aisle?
Doing? It's Ricky Pietro calling.
You run out into the aisle and you run up. you run up. All right. But the game show kind of moment, it struck me. I have put it together. Is this a real college or not?
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I have something that upsets me a little bit, and I will read you the tweet. I know you have a love-hate relationship with this gentleman, Hinky Haynes. He says, is this a real college? Sounds suspiciously similar to the bit yesterday on the K Show called, is this person a real Texas Rangers starting pitcher? So how about when we did, is this a real college, like 2 weeks ago? Does that count at all or no?
With the track record of bits on this show being stolen. Come on, Nikki. Right. I mean, you listen to the show every day.
We don't steal. We have stolen from.
So Hinky's being that guy, though. Why be that guy?
I don't know.
You know you heard it on the show. It was hilarious. It gave us a gem when Dave just randomly, because he lost his place, starts making up names on the fly that rhymed.
Well, you know what? You got more of that treat coming your way in 4 minutes. 4 minutes from right now. Let's revisit how we started the show, and that is the Mets. Now, we had a couple people call and say it's the Mets and it's not going to work out. But realistically, when you look at this thing, and let's get the callers involved at 1-800-919-3776. What is the downside to bringing in Max Scherzer? And you've heard, it's a lot of money. It's not your money. I don't know why you out there in Radio Land care that the Mets are going to pay this guy a lot of money. Who cares? Not your money. He's terrific. Then you heard, well, he didn't really want to come to New York and he's not going to pitch well. Phooey. I don't believe that for a second. This is one of the great pitchers in the history of baseball.
No, on off the field. I mean, this is, he was the best. And I get it. I think a lot of people initially thought when they heard that the Mets were involved in this, coming, you know, on off the heels of Max Scherzer apparently doesn't want to pitch in New York, that whole story was, oh, Max Scherzer's just using the Mets. He's trying to get more money. Well, guess what? We went the extra year. We got Max Scherzer. And just to show you how broken baseball is, because we're going to a work stoppage tonight after, yep. I mean, you see these teams spend crazy amounts of money. You realize that Max Scherzer's $43.3 million this year, plus the 15, by the way, that he's getting in deferred money, puts him ahead of the Pirates and Baltimore Orioles' estimated current opening day payrolls.
Which is, I mean, let's be fair, is gross.
It is
such a huge monumental problem that you have individual players making more money than the entire roster of a team.
It's insane. is what it is.
It's disgusting. I mean, how is a team like a that spends no money supposed to compete with? And listen, it plays to my advantage and your advantage and Yankees fans' advantages as well, and Dodgers and all those teams. But the whole thing is preposterous.
Yeah, but you know what you should love as a Mets fan? And stop with being negative and calling in and being worried about, you know, all the different things that Mets fans are worried about. And I tell Dave this all the time, and he doesn't believe me. There are only a certain amount of owners in professional sports that are truly 100%
committed to winning, right?
All in to winning a championship. They can say they want to win a championship, but it's about making money. Steve Cohen has shown you this offseason, making these moves, what he did last year, locking up Lindor for 10 years, $341 million, that when he said, I expect to win a championship in the next 3 to 5 years, it was not a lie.
No, it was not idle chatter.
No, it wasn't him saying what you wanted to hear as a fan. He means it. This is what he is setting out to do.
And this is where they are right now. Let's go to Sal in Brooklyn. Good morning, Sal. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, boys. Hope and all is well, man. Thank you for taking a call.
You're very welcome.
With your boy Steve Cohen, it's not lip service. Absolutely 100%. And as a diehard Yankee fan since 1967, this is probably one of the greatest days for a Yankee fan in the sense that every time the Yankees would win, it's always been, and I've been hearing it, oh, it's the best team money can buy. And then when they lose, you're spending all that money and you can't win. So now it's going to be good to flip the script for a little bit. Let's see what happens. When you don't win, are you going to tell me the same thing? Well, we have the excuses. Or is it the best team money can buy? So, I mean, it's always got to be a balance of both. Don't get me wrong. You need your minor league system to help you along the way. But it's a good day, honestly. Honestly, it's a good day. So I don't have to hear for the last 50-plus years, it's the best team money can buy. So now you're dabbling into it as well.
Well, you'll still hear it. You'll still hear it. You might not hear it from the Mets fan, but you're still going to hear it. I mean, you think that there are fans, and Rick just went through it, fans around baseball that don't look at the Yankees and say they have and I think it's fair, an unfair advantage?
Well, it's only jealousy that you say that, because your team can't do it.
But it is, when you really think about it, it is unfair.
Well, of course it's unfair. And I mean, that's why some of the stuff you've heard coming out of this, what's going to be it seems like a heated CBA negotiation, is that they want to, what they've been trying to do the entire time, is that these teams have now, Yankees being one of them, is they use the luxury tax threshold and resetting the threshold as a upper limit to the salary cap. And now what they want to do is now have a floor, which is going to be a salary cap. That's what they're pushing for, is that teams have to spend $100 million.
And you know what? They should. They absolutely
should.
Well,
no, the players in baseball do not want to have a salary cap.
Well,
and that's what you'll be agreeing
to. They wouldn't. But they have to have some kind of a floor, because otherwise you get these teams like the Pirates and the Rays that spend no money.
The whole thing is broken, though, Dave. I mean, just think about how, I mean, the prime of these guys' careers, for the first 6 years, you're under control, where you're making, I mean, you make no money. And then all of a sudden you become a free agent and you're getting hundreds of millions of dollars.
It really is wild. 1-800-919-3776. All right, you ready to play?
I can't wait.
Okay. You have any kind of music for me or anything? Oh, yeah, you do. You sure do. All right. Is this a real college or not? Rick, we start with you. Missouri, the Tigers, very well known. Who did they hammer in college basketball the other day? They destroyed Paul Rodman, 91-55. They beat Paul Vuvley, 91-55. Or they beat Paul Quinn, 91-55.
Ooh.
You want the names again?
Give me the names one more time, yeah.
Missouri beat Paul Rodman, Paul Quinn, or Paul Vuvley. Or they beat Glore.
Ooh. We know Glore exists now, so I can't go with Glore. Very reputable institution. I'm going to go with, I'll go with Paul Quinn.
Paul Quinn, RJ?
I'm going to say, was Paul Rodman an option?
Paul Rodman or Paul Vuvley or Paul Quinn?
I'll take Paul Rodman.
Paul Rodman and Raymond.
Can you repeat that second one again? I just want to know where you got that one from.
Missouri beat Paul Rodman, Paul Vuvley, or Paul Quinn. 91-55.
I'm going with Paul Quinn.
Rick, Raymond, You are correct.
Yes.
Missouri beat Paul Quinn 91-55. There is no Paul Rodman, and believe it or not, there is no Paul Vuvle.
Where did you get Paul Vuvle?
I made it up. Where did I get it? Where could I possibly get it? If it's not a real school, where I don't have like a treasure trove of spots I get fictitious schools from. All right. Next up, this is a big battle. Kent State takes on Rogers Park, Gavin Park, or Point Park. Kent State will take on Rogers Park, Gavin Park, or Point Park. RJ, you start.
Point Park sounds like a real thing.
Okay.
I'm going to go Point Park.
Point Park. Very good. Raymond?
See, Point Park sounds convincing. Rogers Park sounds convincing. What was the other one?
Gavin Park.
Even Gavin Park is actually not terrible. It's not Paul Vuvle University. I'm going to go with Rogers Park.
Rogers Park. Rick, we have one Rogers, 1 point.
I'm going to go with Rogers Park.
Okay. RJ, you're the only winner here. Kent State taking on Point Park in a big, big battle. And lastly, you've heard of VMI, right? Virginia Military Institute? Yes, I'm sure you have. Who are they taking on? Pikes Peak, Clark's Summit, or Nazareth. Nazareth Tabone.
What?
Sam Houston State. Hammers. Latorno. Lawarno. Or Lashorno. All right. Virginia Military takes on Pikes Peak, Clark Summit, or Nazareth Tabone. Raymond, you go first.
I mean, same energy. Yes. Lawarno, Lashorno. Same exact energy. What was the first one? Pikes Peak?
Pikes Peak,
yeah.
Clark's Summit, or Nazareth Tabone?
Let's go with Pikes Peak.
Nazareth Tabone. I want that to be the school so bad.
Oh, God. All right. Rick, you're up. You know your three options here.
I want that to be the school so bad. Oh, I also want to win the game. I'll go with... What was the one? Clark Summit. I'll go with Clark Summit.
Clark Summit. We got one Pikes Peak, one Clark Summit, Nazareth Tabone available for you if you'd like, RJ.
Now, I know the logical thing would be not to take Nazareth's Tabone.
No, you got
to
take the bone. You got to take the bone.
But I'm taking Nazareth's Tabone.
Yes.
I think they play Glor next.
All right. Virginia Military will be taking on Clark's Summit tonight. Nazareth Tabone, believe it or not, was homemade. I made that up all on my own. All on my own.
Or they beat Glor.
Oh, goodness.
Santy took Pike's Peak.
That sounds real.
No, it doesn't.
It sounds more real than Nazareth Tabone.
No, it
Nazareth
doesn't.
In all honesty, I can't even get through Nazareth Tabone. It's like, okay, whichever one was the first one, I was just going in the complete exact opposite direction of Nazareth.
How about Paul Vuvle? Oh,
Paul
goodness.
Paul Vuvle.
It's a French cooking school. All right, you can stop the music.
Nazareth Tabone.
Oh, goodness.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Foster, I'm glad we're all back in good graces. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. We welcome you into what is a very, very wonderful day to be a Mets fan.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's no doubt about it that, this and the moves they've made in the last 5 days is a full manifestation of why at the time that Steve Cohen bought the Mets, that Mets fans should be excited, because let's face it, on the face of them, for a lot of teams, the deals they've made, including the Scherzer contract, there's a lot of risk, but because of Steve Cohen's money, there isn't, right? I mean, they may not necessarily work out at the top of the, you know, the Mets rotation now. You have Jacob deGrom, who didn't pitch for the last 3 months. You don't really know what you're going to get out of him. You know, Max, given his age, there's going to be inherent risk there. You know, the other guys that they signed to round out, they're in their early 30s. But here's the thing. They didn't give up any, you know, assets from their farm system, and they clearly have gotten better through these moves. So, you know, hats off to Steve Cohen and the Mets.
All right, Buster, just quickly, because I saw your tweet. We, Dave and I were talking about this before the break. So we're going into a work stoppage tonight, which makes no sense to me. I get it. I've been a part of these CBA negotiations, but you see the amount of money being spent and everything else. So Max Scherzer signs for the 3 years, just over $43 million a year. And you have teams, more than one team, that is going to start the season with a payroll less for their whole team, less than Max Scherzer is making in one season. I mean, that seems ridiculous, but that's the reality of the situation. Do you imagine that something like that gets fixed with this new CBA?
I don't have confidence that it's going to. You're right. It's ridiculous. And here's the thing that's fascinating about this, having watched a lot of and covered a lot of labor issues. You know, we always talk about the haves and have-nots, and certainly well-established on the side of the owners, where you have, you know, teams like the Guardians, you know, formerly known as the Indians, the Pirates, the Orioles, all going to have payrolls lower than what Max Scherzer is going to make. And you would hope that at some point that there would be some sort of an adjustment, any tanking measures that would force teams to spend. But that have-not dynamic is also developing within the players' ranks. You know, we're seeing all these incredible contracts being doled out. Max Scherzer's effectively the head of the union. And you know what? When you talk to people privately on both sides, the agents and the executives, they are cringing because at the back end of this, whenever there's a labor settlement, the middle class of players is going to get destroyed. The rank and file among the players, they're going to pay for this. And so overall, the player's share in the pie continues to shrink, and it will, you know, if there's a labor stoppage at the end of this, unless there are major changes. But the two sides are not collaborating. They're not cooperating. They're not really throwing ideas back and forth in an aggressive way that can fix all of this. It kind of drives you crazy that the two sides' working relationship is that bad, because I think big picture, it's awful for the sport.
It's terrible for the sport. Buster only with us here, 98.7 ESPN. And it's, I mean, with what we have going on in this country and the fact that so many people are unemployed and there's a pandemic going on, and to have a sport which, let's be fair, is losing popularity, that is going to go through this kind of labor issue, it's just a bad look. So a couple of questions on that. How long do you think this goes on for? Realistically, are we going to start the season on time? And what do you think the end results? Like, are we going to see more teams in the postseason? Is the DH going to be incorporated now? What's the end result, and how long, your best guess, does it take?
So I had Jeff Passan on my podcast a few weeks ago, and we both had our guess. His was an agreement sometime in mid-February. I think that's a little too optimistic, as I told him. I think that there's not any real deadline until the two sides are afraid of losing money, which is at the start of the regular season. I think it's closer that there's an agreement in, say, March 10th, and you have a very truncated spring training, a rapid-fire, lightning round of free agent signings where, again, the middle class is just going to get absolutely gouged, and the changes will not be enormously substantive in terms of what the financial system is. I do think you'll have expanded playoffs. I think you'll have universal DH. You might have some agreement on, efforts on the field to change the sport, maybe some reduction in the number of relievers being used. But the fundamental parts of the financial system need to change will not be moved, because the two sides aren't really talking along those lines. I wish they would. I wish that you would, you know, ensure that teams like the Orioles and the, you know, the Guardians, the Pirates would contend. I wish that, you know, they would improve the system so that the middle class of players, which has seen its average salary go from 11.6 in 2014 to 6.2 last winter in terms of the free agents, almost cut in half, that they would do better. But I have no confidence that that's taking place.
Yeah, that's happening in all the sports too, Buster. I mean, with salary caps, that's what happens. You got the young guys that are affordable. You got the superstars that get paid, and it's that middle class that gets screwed in the whole deal. So there was a lot of talk with what Steve Cohen has done, the amount of money that he spent. And, I mean, for Mets fans, we're ecstatic. But we always felt like this was inevitable, that he would spend the money. Some people have suggested that he was upset, you know, Steven Matz's agent. You saw that tweet and everything else, and that was the impetus for him to start spending. I think it was more, and tell me if I'm wrong, was that when he bought the team, there was some concern from other owners that he would just come out and start spending like a drunken sailor. So was it him just in year one, he makes the deal for Lindor, gets him locked up, but being more respectful, and now, you know, in year two is when he really felt like he could kind of go all out and sign the free agents that he wanted?
I think actually that it's because he probably, and I, you know, maybe he felt this way when he started, that he recognizes that's what they have to do in this moment, right? I mean, when you look at that team, they have legitimate holes, not mm-hmm. knowing what DeGrom's going to bring them. They had to add. They don't really have an alternative if they're going to, you know, meet his goal of winning a World Series now within the next 2 to 4 years. This is what he had to do. And there are so many owners in the sport who at this moment would retreat and say, nope, not going to do that. We're going to play the long game, quote-unquote rebuild. We're going to throw it back in. You give him credit because he's throwing his money. And let's face it, in all these cases, Eduardo Escobar and Canna and Marte and Scherzer, they overpaid. You know, they paid at the top end. But, you know, the great thing is they can do that. And that was what was so exciting about him taking over the team, because they would finally act like a big market team, much in the same way when George Steinbrenner took over the Yankees. He threw a ton of money at it and got guys like Catfish and Reggie Jackson and, you know, began to build a great team. The question, of course, I think everyone wants to know is, you know, will this actually manifest? We don't know. They do have a lot of questions on their roster.
All right, so what's next? I mean, they have a lot of bullpen improvement to make. Are they done with the starting rotation? Is there a chance Javi Baez comes back? Because it looks like the Tigers are hot on the heels of Baez. So what's next? What happens now?
Yeah, Baez and the Tigers are moving toward an agreement. You know, 6 years is going to be something, I believe, in the range of $21 million a year, almost $125 million. Look, we talked about how when there's a restart, you know, if in fact there's a labor stoppage, when there's a restart, you get that lightning round. Any team that has financial flexibility at that moment is going to clean up. Like, there are going to be so many guys looking for jobs at close to minimum, and I think the teams that are going to be potentially best poised to take advantage of that, the Mets, the Yankees, because the Yankees really haven't done anything this winter, the Giants, the Dodgers, actually, who've lost some guys, those teams are going to swoop in and get some really high-valued guys. So if you look at the Mets roster now, I don't think there's – it's not like you look at them and say, look, they have to get, you know, this star, or they have to trade for this person. I think you can be patient if you're the Mets and wait to, it's going to be such a great buyer's market for those teams that actually have some dollars to put out there.
Buster only joins us here on the show. So speaking of the Yankees, Buster, we're getting some phone calls from Yankees fans that are a little, I don't want to say upset, maybe more concerned. I mean, last time we had you on, you mentioned, you know, Seager, you mentioned Semien. Those guys both get signed by Texas for $500 million. Brian Cashman said they were going to address the shortstop position. Where do they go now?
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's third tier. I mean, at this point, if Baez agrees to a deal, you know, you potentially have Correa still out there. I have no indication. In fact, you know, sources are telling me Yankees organization yesterday, nothing major before, you know, this stoppage. Let's face it, this is all related to them holding their ammunition back for, you know, potentially for Aaron Judge to try to work something out with him and not spend a lot of money. It's a surprise. I think that during the summertime, when you talk to the executives of the teams, they assume that the Yankees would walk away with one of these five elite guys. You know, theoretically, they could go in on Trevor Story, but I think, you know, given the contracts where Marcus Semien's gone and where Baez is gone and Seager's gone, Story now may also be priced out of the Yankees' range. It's a surprise, and they, you know, you are being polite. Yankee fans are really angry, and you could hear in the voice of people I talked to yesterday in the Yankees organization, they're kind of battening down the hatches because they know they're taking a lot of flack, especially in comparison with what the Mets are doing.
All right, so two-part question. So do they pivot now and maybe go, you know, cheaper, better defensively at short, and then consider, you know, a trade for Matt Olson or a Brian Reynolds in the outfield? And second part of the question is, so today is also, I mean, the day to decide whether or not you're going to tender certain players. What do the Yankees do with Gary Sanchez and Luke Voit?
Yeah, and I have not heard anything other than, you know, that they are going to hang on to those guys. You know, Voight's an interesting guy because he plays a position where there are not a lot of options. There are a lot of options, and you see, you know, first base is not really valued that highly. I can't imagine that the Yankees, you know, that's where their high payroll gives them the flexibility to buy some time to hang on to Luke and maybe make a decision down the road. Olsen is someone that they have a lot of interest in. And as this played out and we talk about, you know, the shortstop position, I got to tell you, an out-of-the-box idea would be Matt Chapman of the Athletics. He's played shortstop in his past. You could, with those young guys coming up in their farm system, if you wanted to buy a year or two and you wanted to, to try to fill that position until those guys are ready, that would be an interesting out-of-the-box idea that you would put him there. And we've seen other teams do that. Matt Chapman, you know, one of the elite defenders in baseball.
Wow. Interesting stuff. You dropped a lot of knowledge on us today, Buster. Listen, we appreciate it. We love that you come on with us again now and that we've, you know, gotten past all the issues. Is the lunch still on with you and I?
It is still on. We'll have to figure that out. Once we figure out what's going to happen with the labor stuff, because in theory, next week I'm going to the winter meetings, but I don't think anybody believes that that those are actually going to take place.
All right. I'm going to reach out to you. I'm going to get your number from RJ. I know you've given the green light on that. I will reach out. We're going to get the lunch on the calendar.
Yeah, and I have to bring my son, the Titans fan, and you guys can berate each other.
It looks great. I look forward to it. Buster, thanks, man. We'll talk to you real soon.
See you guys.
All right, and that's today's Buster Only Report, brought to you by Nissan. Nissan's an easier choice than ever with their exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. Now get great offers across their full line. Shop at your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com. And by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code GREEN for a special offer when you sign up only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Now it's time for your chance to qualify for the Week 13 Pigskin Payout. It's your chance to play in the 98.7 ESPN Sportsbook and win up to $1,000 for correctly picking the Jets and Philadelphia Eagles game. Be the first caller right now, 888-987-ESPN, to qualify. We'll be selecting our winners this Friday, so keep it locked into our show and the Michael Kay Show for your chance at a pigskin payout. And Goodyear is with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. And, of course, that was some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract and no compromise. So that was a lot to digest from Buster. Sounds like he thinks the Mets now wait until after this lockout is done and then just come in and just swoop and get all these, you know, players just waiting to be picked up.
Yeah, which is smart, right?
It's great.
Make your big moves now and then you wait. You have the flexibility. Doesn't sound great for the Yankees and what they plan on doing.
Boy, Matt Chapman is interesting. The thing is, he's such a great third baseman. If you play him at short, you might not get that same level of defense. He'd probably be good. But not
well.
Not
I mean, you've
level.
Seen well. You've seen Urshela play. I mean, short too. Now it's not. I mean, it's not Carlos Correa or Seager. They have to make some kind of. They're going to make moves.
They have to. They have, because you can hear from Buster. Guys are starting to become restless. The fans. All right, Santi. Yo, I mean, we served it up to you on a platter today. It's now time for three stars.
Today's three stars. Number three.
When I tell you the served on a platter, like the plate is overflowing today, too much. So I'll say this. The Mets are big winners because they're spending the money, and it got Buster Olney to come onto the show and an audible today. And, you know, it gave us an excuse to play this again.
I don't know if it's something I did or if it's something Dave did, but we love you.
We do love Buster Olney, and we do appreciate him coming on. And
I love that.
Thank you to the Mets for making this happen.
Number two.
Dave started the show with another tale of his being a large child.
I am a large, somewhat functional, complete child.
It's nice to know that we can count on certain things continuing to be, and that is Dave Rothenberg just being a giant man baby over something like fantasy football. And somehow the marriage endures, so good for you, Dave Rothenberg.
Number one.
There's nothing else I can say.
Pike's Peak, Clark's Summit, or Nazareth.
I can't say it.
Or Nazareth. Nazareth to Bone.
The great learning institute that is Nazareth to Bone, the number one star.
Nazareth to Bone. Oh, whew, that was a lot. All right, so there you have it. Let's bring in Keyshawn, Max. Guys, welcome. Today is a special, special day to be a fan of the New York Mets. What a day to be alive.
Well, I guess if you're a Met fan, it is, right?
Oh, well, I'm sorry that we took him from your beloved Dodgers here.
Well, you didn't take him. We were not going to give him, what is it, $44 million a year or something like that?
Crazy thing about
it. Yeah, we were not doing that. He wouldn't have been our ace anyway. Walker Buehler's our ace. He's our number two guy now, and Kershaw's gone.
Crazy thing about Scherzer, though, is when he signed the deal in Washington, like with the Nats, it was like, I don't know, given his age and the length of the contract and the money, I don't know. Is this really a smart – he – surpassed the contract. He became, yeah, you know, an all-time great. You win three Cy Youngs in your career, and you're still going basically as strong as ever. There's a good chance that he lives up to this contract.
Well, it's only 3 years, though, right? For guys, it's not like it's a 6 or 7 year deal. It's a 3 year deal. He should be able to get through the 3 years. And not only that, the New York Mets are paying for sizzle in name value, and that's what they're getting.
Well, but although if you put... You put a guy with this stuff with – he's the second best pitcher on the Mets too, by the way, if DeGrom is healthy.
Yep.
Like, you have those two guys, and I root against the Mets actively. But I'm a Yankees fan, so that's how it works.
But what's been the Mets' problem? It hasn't been the pitching. It's been the bats.
Right, but if you can get into the playoffs and you have two front-end starters with that kind of stuff and they can throw four times in a seven-game series, nowadays, guys, you get six innings out of a guy. You're like, oh, that's a great start. You can win a series. You can win a playoff series, seven-game series of those two guys against a better team.
Yeah, now we just have to get to the postseason.
I was about to say that to Max. Oh, that's great, Max. But they got to get to the damn postseason. Somebody's got to hit the ball.
Yeah.
Their problem is not the pitching. It's the bats.
Well, there's been many iterations of Mets teams that have come up with some live arms, like a group of live arms, and because of injury and whatever else, it just hasn't worked out for them since the 80s, since they did it in the 80s and won the World Series with it.
But they had bats in 88 too, though.
They did.
LeStraw and Mookie.
From the minor league
dudes.
System. Yeah. They came up with bats from the minor leagues, and nowadays it seems like, you know, they can sign a shortstop who can hit for a shortstop and stuff like that, but the farm system hasn't come up with the same position players as it used to, years ago.
You know what Steve Cohen will do? He'll just buy it. He'll just buy it and he'll be done. Guys,
are you guys happy with the signing though?
We're thrilled. Could honestly not be more thrilled. Not my money. So yeah, absolutely thrilled.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah. Listen, the truth about Scherzer, he's one of the best pitchers of all time, and he still looks like he's in his prime.
He still can go. We would have taken him on a discount.
Yep. Well, we're going to pay through the nose for this kind of guy. All right. We know you have a lot of Mets talk coming your way, some Jets and Giants as well. So have a great day. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
All right. There you have it. That's Keyshawn Johnson and Max Kellerman coming your way in just a moment here on 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, I couldn't be happier. I couldn't. It would be impossible.
Well, I don't know how you could be a Mets fan and not feel great about this. Like, what's the downside?
There is no downside right now. There isn't. There is no downside. I'm concerned about Jacob DeGrom's health. I want to see what he looks like when he comes back. But I'm telling you, and I stand by this, the fact that they prioritized what's going on inside that clubhouse with the signings that they've made is a big step for this team, because that's been a problem for I don't even know how many years. It's been that clubhouse.
Yep, got to get past that. 3 seconds. Knicks win or lose tonight?
Knicks win tonight, yes.
Rule 76.
No excuses. Plague a champion. It's DPHO Rothenberg and
Nazareth to Bone.
98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DPHO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.